Sean Forbes has been profoundly deaf since he was an infant, but he makes music anyway.
My name is Sean, but they call me Sean. Got a message here I'm delivering.
He was interviewed by NPR's Leanne Hansen a couple of years ago, and he told her that when he interned for an engineering company in Chicago, they were so impressed with his work ethic that they offered to send him through college.
And I told them, I'm sorry, I'm going to become a rock star. And he laughed at me right there. You know, and I was kind of saying it in a, like a jokingly manner, but I was also pretty serious about it because I knew that was what I wanted.
The intro of this program, I think it's worth you knowing that the world's exploding. The intro of this program.
And Sean Forbes may be on his way. His music has been championed by fellow Detroiter Eminem. And Marley Matlin, the actress, who is also deaf, appeared in one of his music videos. And he's a co-founder of DPAN, the Deaf Professional Arts Network. This week, he'll release his debut CD, DVD album called Perfect Imperfection. Sean Forbes joins us now from the studios of WDET in Detroit. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And let's go ahead and introduce Tracy Romano, who's in there in the studio with you. He's interpreting for you in American Sign Language. Mr. Romano, thanks for your help.
Pleasure, sir.
So, please tell us, Mr. Forbes, it sounds like things are really beginning to take off for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this record. I mean, it's the one thing that I've always wanted in my life is to release a CD, and now I'm releasing a CD and a DVD. I mean, I couldn't be more grateful at this moment that I'm finally coming out with something that I've worked so hard my entire life for.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to one of your songs, if we could. This is a bit of your song called Watch These Hands.
Looked at your lips and you asked what's wrong with us. Why we rode the shore bus to school. I was fortunate enough, I made it out of Lasser High School. And then I made it out of RIT. Most of the kids I rode the bus with never saw. I hope they're looking down. I dedicate this song to them. I hope they're looking down.
That's one of my most personal songs on the record. I mean, there were a lot of experiences that I had growing up that nobody else has probably ever gone through. I mean, I mentioned riding the short bus in there.
The short bus, they would put all people with learning disabilities or whatever the term of art is on the short bus?
Yeah, there were people that were confined to wheelchairs, people that, you know, couldn't communicate verbally, and we all went to special education programs. So I rode the bus every morning and every afternoon with these kids. You know, it's just something that I wanted to put into a song because I think a lot of people think that it was easy for me to get into music, but really it's taken me on quite a journey to get to where I am today, and seeing all those kids that were not deaf but may have had cerebral palsy or Down syndrome, but I never looked at it as a disability. We were kind of in the same place at the same time, and that was definitely, you know, a huge moment in my life.
I know that they'd be proud. Watch these hands. They can dance, they can sing, they can dance, they can watch these hands.
In the line, watch these hands, it's like, I'm a visual entertainer. You have to see me to get me, so you have to watch me. You can't just listen to me and get what I'm doing. You really got to check me out.
Yeah. How do you communicate with the musicians who play with you?
I usually follow the beat. I mean, the main thing that I follow is the kick drum and the snare, and everything else kind of fills itself in. So that's usually what I follow. I mean, there was one time you had a show in Texas where all of a sudden the PA system just went out, and we were kind of looking around, and we had a grand piano brought onto the stage, and that I had never in my life performed with the grand piano, but we did that show. I'm lucky enough that I could follow the rhythm and come up with it myself and do the lyrics on time and stuff like that. It blows my mind sometimes how I could do that. It's almost like it's like second nature inside of me.
Your new release includes a DVD of music videos with the words leaping out of the screen.
Yeah. I wanted to create something where people could enjoy my music visually, where everybody could enjoy it. And that goes for my concerts as well. When I perform live, I have a video screen behind me that shows the lyrics and shows the words. and shows the rhythm of the songs to get everything, to make it as accessible as possible, and it's been tremendous.
Speaking for myself, I wish they did a little more flashing of the lyrics at every show.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something awesome, to be able to go to a Jay-Z concert or to go to a Rolling Stones concert and see this, because I'm sure a large part of the Rolling Stones audience is going deaf, so they might want that too.
Oh, my. Another track from your CD that I'd like us to listen to. I don't mind saying this is my favorite of your songs. This is Bob Dylan was the first rapper.
Awesome. Minnesota, 1959. Saw Buddy Holly 3 days before he died. Looked him straight in the eyes right then. And then he made up his mind. Moved out to NYC. Said, had a voice like you and me.
Add another chapter. Bob Dylan was a first rapper.
Now tell us about this song. Firstly, how did you get to know the work of Bob Dylan so well? Because, well, you're not exactly in his demographic, are you? You're a young man.
I can thank my parents for that one. I mean, growing up, my parents always played all types of music, and Bob Dylan was definitely one of the artists that they played often. I mean, I grew up on this stuff, so I've always had this, like, joking thing, like, you know, Bob Dylan was the first rapper, because songs like, obviously, Subterranean Homesick Blues, which I use lyrics in the song, Bob Dylan was the first rapper. You know, I used Johnny was in the basement mixing up the medicine.
I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The men in the trench called Badge off, laid off. Said he's got a bad cough, wants to get paid off.
I used some of Bob Dylan's lyrics, and I was kind of a little freaked out about that because, you know, it's very hard for Bob Dylan to sign off on people using his content. So we basically reached out to them and asked them, and they gave us permission within 24 hours. I mean, they responded back and said, sure, yeah, go for it. And I was out of my mind because, from what I know, Bob Dylan rarely gives anybody permission to use any of his songs. So the fact that I got an answer within 24 hours means we're doing something right here, I guess.
Yeah. And the music video you've done for this, I find it hilarious. Before they did music videos, Bob Dylan kind of famously did a film for Subterranean Homesick Blues where he flips through cue cards.
In my video, I'm basically paying homage to that because that music video is iconic in so many ways. And when I showed my director for this video, that Bob Dylan video, we instantly came up with the idea of doing our way of doing the lyrics, but paying homage to him. And I love that video.
I want to ask you a bit about the DPAN Artist Network that you co-founded, because it features videos by many hard of hearing and deaf artists that are produced with American Sign Language. How's that going? What's the demand for American Sign Language videos like?
There's a high demand for it. In fact, the most recent one that we did was a huge success. We did an interpretation for We're Going to Be Friends by the White Stripes, and that got tremendous response from everywhere. The music video is on Good Morning America, on the Today Show, on so many different things. And the White Stripes posted it on their website. They posted it on Facebook. They posted it on Twitter. They shared it with everybody that they know. So it was the first time that we've had an artist actually really help us. And I think that so many of these artists should have their videos interpreted in New American Sign Language and work with DPAN, with the Deaf Professional Arts Network, because that's what we want. We want to share your music with a community of 30 million people. I mean, that's how many people are missing out on your material, and that's a huge audience.
Hmm. Let me ask you about your friend Marshall Mathers. Do you call him Marshall or Eminem?
It depends on the time of day.
Or Mr. Mathers, I suppose. You guys are both proudly Detroiters, and a lot of people across the country are really rooting for Detroit. What's it mean to you to be a musician from Detroit?
I'm proud to be from Detroit. I'm proud to be from a city that embraces music. I mean, we have everything from Motown to Ted Nugent to Eminem to Kid Rock to Uncle Cracker to Alice Cooper. I mean, there's so many musicians that have come from this town, and I'm proud to be from here. I travel around the country and so many people always ask me, are you from New York City? And I'm like, oh, no. Are you from LA? No. Where are you from? Detroit. And the looks on their faces are always like, no way. Seriously? And I'm like, yeah. I could go on and on all day about this, but I love Detroit.
Sean Forbes, his new CD and DVD set is called Perfect Imperfection. He joined us from the studios of WDET very proudly in Detroit. Mr. Forbes, thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'd rather not you, rather not listen. I'm the perfect imperfection, never restricted. Deeper than that, Jim, I'm so, so deaf. Deeper than that, dumber, I'll make the world go deaf. I've got deaf tones, but I'm not tone deaf. I'll stop stating the obvious, but I don't yet.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.